The coronavirus has done many things. At worst, it has taken lives. It has changed the way we interact. It has distanced us from each other. It slowed our pace, made us wear masks, forced us to alter our way of life, sheltering in place. Today on Chris Fabry Live, what the virus has not been able to do, and that is stop the work of God. The virus and authorities can prevent things such as church attendance. It can't stop the gospel. So today on Chris Fabry Live, the Radio Backyard Fence, we're going to get some updates about the gospel, the virus, and ministry that I hope will encourage you, inform you, and maybe challenge you to pray and get involved in what God is up to around the world and around your block, to see where God is at work and join Him there. That's our goal. Let's see what happens. The website, chrisfabrylive.org. We have done our best to post information that will help you understand more about God at work in four areas, in four spheres. Go to chrisfabrylive.org, click through to today's program details and audio, and you'll see more there. Our phone line's going to be open today, but we have an awful lot to cover. So if you have a question or a comment, the number is 877-548-3675. Clara will be answering your calls today. Pappy's in the chair. Pappy, thank you. Trisha's our producer. Ryan McConaughey is doing all things technical. Here are the four areas. What's going on with children during the COVID-19 crisis? What's happening with Muslims in the Middle East? We'll take a hard look at the toll the virus has taken on Native Americans. And here in our first segment, we're going to Russia and the former Soviet Union. To help us with that is the president of the Slavic Gospel Association, Michael Johnson. The SGA partners with hundreds of missionaries and more than 6,000 evangelical churches across Russia and the former Soviet Union. Michael, welcome, and paint us a picture of what's going on with people in that area of the world today.
Well, thank you so much for having me today, Chris. Yes, it's a things are very difficult over there, and it's a huge part of the world right now. In the 10 countries of the former Soviet Union that we serve, including Israel, because we work among the Russian Jewish population, they're looking at roughly 398,000 cases with 4,200 people who have passed away, with a total population of roughly 286 million. So in Russia and those countries, while the incidence isn't huge in terms of the percent of the population, what is happening is those economies are really in shambles right now. Especially in Russia, you know, the economy is based upon the price of fossil fuel, and with the crash of the price of oil, they're really struggling in those countries. And so people are struggling in the cities, but again, we're connected to roughly 6,350 evangelical churches throughout those countries, and we have access to people who are really struggling, particularly out in the rural areas, in the towns and villages that really don't have any access to basic resources. The supply chain is being damaged there, so it's difficult for people to access food. So basically, we've been able to help to mobilize the churches through the program that we call Christ Over COVID, Much Prayer, Much Power.
And take me to that. I think you told me before I had the 425,000, but I think you said more than 500,000 meals have been distributed since all this began, right?
Yes. Well, as I thought about this, as with the onset of this crisis, I really thought about how God wanted us to respond to this. So again, we created this program, and the first priority of this program is prayer. And we really called sort of a worldwide call to prayer. And if people were to come to our website, sga.org/COVID, they would see an opportunity to sign up for daily prayer updates about what God is doing throughout those regions, as well as the needs that exist there. So we start with prayer, but the second thing is that we want to be able to equip resources to these churches out in these areas so that they can minister to these people both in word and deed. And I got a report from one of the areas where it says, in connection with the virus, the government has declared a state of emergency and closed everything except food stores and pharmacies. People have no jobs, no means to survive because this. Our national currency has fallen significantly in price. Food prices have begun to rise sharply. Some Some products have almost doubled in price. Many people are unable to purchase even the most essential items. We simply don't have any money. And so that's where the churches step in. And the more resources we can provide the churches, the more they can identify the people that are struggling in their areas. They can go meet them in their need. I mean, essentially, we have access to the point of need in just about every area in these 10 countries that we work in, so that we can provide food, we can provide resources, we can provide medicine where needed, and then we can share the love of Christ with them. Because I believe that this represents the greatest opportunity for the proclamation of the gospel in modern times. People are scared. People are uncertain about their futures. People are uncertain about their own mortality. And this is a significant time that God has raised up so that we can share the truth of the gospel with these people, so many can come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ.
And if they're turning not, you know, if the government is unable to help in great ways, if the church is there and if they can help provide that, then that's another entree to the gospel, not just the spiritual nourishment that you get, but also food, you know, daily nourishment. That can have a huge impact.
It really can, because in many of these areas, what the people in these areas are saying, what these people in these towns and villages are saying, is that the government can't help us. It's only the churches that are helping us. Because the government, they're broke as well. And we have a significant ministry among children in state-run orphanages throughout these countries. And in many cases, they have shut those orphanages down. And many of those kids are what they call social orphans, which means that they were taken from their homes because of dysfunction, alcoholism, or violence in the homes, and they're being raised in these orphanages. Now they're being sent back to their homes, and the kids are living in very difficult situations, the same circumstances under which they were originally taken from their homes. So the workers are visiting them, trying to minister to them and drop off food to make sure that they're okay, and they're begging to go back to the orphanages right now.
So Christ Over COVID is what the Slavic Gospel Association, we have a link to that. If you go to chrisfabrylive.org, help deliver COVID-19 relief and the gospel in Slavic nations. We have the link at chrisfabrylive.org. Again, click through to today's information. You'll find out more. You mentioned before we went on the Chernobyl area, and a lot of people, you just say Chernobyl and immediately, you know, the light bulb goes off and you think about what's going on in that part of the world. And of course, nobody is in that Chernobyl, you know, right there, but in the outlying areas, the rural areas, there are people there, right?
Yes, the Chernobyl nuclear explosion took place in 1986, and the half-life of radiation is much longer than the amount of time that has taken place since then. So there are still people suffering from radiation poisoning, and many children, particularly in the country of Belarus, are dying as a result of it as well. They don't talk about it, but that's a reality there. But in that area, not only did they shut down many of the villages, but there was recently a forest fire that devastated the entire region, and so people that are living in those areas are really struggling. And we have workers up there who, the number of churches that have been established there, and they're going around and finding the people that have the need, and they're ministering to them as well. And many of the children who were released from these orphanages where there's no financial support are being released back into this Chernobyl region. It's a very remote area, very poor area, and they need help as well. And we have people mobilized to reach out to them and travel to their villages, you know, meet with their families, help them where they can, and then give them spiritual nourishment at the same time. And many people are coming to faith in Christ there as well.
We're talking with the president of the Slavic Gospel Association, Michael Johnson. And I want to ask you about the prayer concerns and how people can pray. But do you have a story that you can tell me about openness to the gospel? Is there any anecdotal evidence that you can give us today?
Well, in Moscow, for example, there's a Russian Bible Church, and it's pastored by Reverend Eugene, that we've been Bakhmutsky that we've been supporting for many years, and they're baptizing people on a regular basis from people that have come to their church and whose needs have been ministered to, and they've baptized a number of people since the onset of it. But we're also hearing out in the regions where people, for example, in Ukraine, one of the church planters that we sponsor, he also has a job driving an ambulance. And so he is driving COVID patients from his village or from his area to the hospital. It's about an hour away. All day long, he's driving people back and forth, and that's an opportunity for him to share the gospel with them in their time of distress. And he reports that a number of people have repented on the way to the hospital.
Wow.
So we're seeing opportunities that God has opened up for people to hear the gospel and then respond to it. And we're also seeing a lot of that down in the war zone in Ukraine. We have significant ministry on both the Russian side as well as on the Ukrainian side of people that are stuck in the war zone. They can't leave. They're not only in the midst of this battle, but now they're in the midst of COVID-19. Their lives are just in it's a very difficult situation. And the churches there are growing as a result of the ministry that these people have had in their lives. So there's just a huge opportunity. So when you ask about prayer, you know, for me, my prayer is that this situation would subside. My prayer is for those families who have lost loved ones as a result of the virus, that God would comfort them in this time. My prayer is for people that need help physically and with food and other resources, that God would make those provisions. But most importantly, my prayer is that God would open the hearts of the people in the midst of this crisis so that they will be open to His Word, so that many might come to saving faith in Christ, and for boldness of the churches and the workers to be able to preach the gospel to them, and that God would direct them to the people in whose hearts He's working.
You can find out more about that. You've done an excellent job with the website, Christ Over COVID, helped deliver COVID-19 relief and the gospel in the Slavic nations. If you go to chrisfabrylive.org, you can click through right there. Michael Johnson, thank you. Again, president of the Slavic Gospel Association. Go to chrisfabrylive.org, and you can see how you can get involved in praying and doing tangible things if God is putting that on your heart today. Go to chrisfabrylive.org and click through. Coming up, we'll look at what's going on in Native American tribes. I hope the program's encouraging you today. If you'd like to encourage us to keep doing what we're doing and give a gift of any size, I want to send you a story from my heart, Junebug. It's a retelling of Les Miserables that story has really stuck in my heart. You'll fall in love with the little Junebug, patterned after Cosette. Give a gift of any size today, chrisfabrylive.org, or call us at 866-95-FABRY. We'll send you a copy of that novel that has reached a lot of hearts and hopefully will warm yours as well. 866-95-FABRY or go to chrisfabrylive.org. The virus, the gospel, and God at work. That's what we're talking about today at the Backyard Fence. And I've seen some disturbing reports about what the coronavirus has done to Native Americans. Here to help us understand more about that is Huron Claus, president of Chief Incorporated, a fifth-generation follower of Jesus, comes from the Mohawk Kiowa tribes of New York and Oklahoma. And we last time we talked, Huron, was back on Thanksgiving, I think, that we aired
That's right.
The conversation we had. 2 months ago, I see the stats are the first two cases of COVID-19 virus were reported on the Navajo Nation 2 months ago. Things have gotten
right.
A lot worse, haven't they?
Oh, definitely. Yes, it was March 17th that they had discovered two cases. Just looking today, there are over 4,000 cases on the Navajo Nation reservation, and there are over 144 deaths. It's actually the number one hotspot. Compared per capita now within the U.S. And just It's ravaged, really, the Navajo Nation, but has impacted as well a number of the different other nations. There's 573 nations within the U.S., but the one that's really been highlighted is the Navajo Nation.
Yes. And I saw a CNN report that said it's the one of the strictest stay-at-home orders in the country. Residents can't leave their homes unless there's an emergency or they're deemed an essential worker, and they have to have documentation on letterhead in order to prove that, right?
That's right. That's right. It the whole tribe itself, and when you think about that, there are about 350,000 plus members on the reserve or on the Navajo Nation. There's about 170,000 on the reservation itself, and that covers about 27,000 square miles of when we're talking about the Navajo Reservation. So when they shut down, I mean, you're talking hundreds upon hundreds of miles of land that you're talking about. And not only is the tribe itself that shut down, you have border towns, like I know in New Mexico, where Gallup was shut down. So if you can imagine a Native family going to get food or any type of help, they are literally having to go 200-300 miles one way to get that kind of assistance. So it is a challenge.
Yeah, and that is I saw in the report something about a food desert. That's a good way to describe it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, yes, yeah, it is. Tremendous needs. One praise though, and I can you hear, of course, through the press the negative, but there is a positive, and I would say. One thing that I just thank the Lord for is the leadership of the Navajo Nation. The president and vice president are outstanding men of God. The vice president was a former pastor working among his people. And so they just really have a heart for the Lord. When this first happened, they had called together a number of leaders, Native pastors, and really called a national day of prayer for their people. And it was an incredible time. But you're seeing, too, and I just thank the Lord how God is responding, because he's using the church, and the church at large is what I would say, to really help in meeting the needs of the people themselves. So often in the press we hear, the doom and gloom, but I'm just charged because even in the shutdown of things, I think even in the churches now, among our Native churches, they are completely shut down where they cannot meet, physically. They are doing it through the internet and other ways. But again, God's word and God's power is not stopped. And that is just a great encouragement to me.
Are you seeing then, and we just talked about the former Soviet Union and Russia and what's going on, especially
right.
in the rural areas there, are
yes.
you seeing an openness to the gospel on the different reservations that you
yes.
haven't seen before?
Yes, yes, and a resounding yes. I was just on a phone call yesterday with some of the First Nations people up in Canada, leadership up there. And one thing that I've heard consistent, Chris, and it's just touched my heart, is that even though there are the churches responding, the non-Native churches responding to the Native peoples, they're supplying food and as far as medical supplies, things like that. But I think of one example where they were saying, the greatest request of all the different items is for a Bible. And they want to hear, and what I hear from that, they want to hear God's voice. They want to hear God's word. And again, our Native people are a very spiritual people. So their heart is to hear what God has for them. And so I think what a opportunity, what a prime moment that the Lord has put us into, that our people are crying out, you know, to just really hear his direction and sense his presence.
We talked about this, the white man's religion, you know, Christianity is for the white man or others. Then you go with all of the generational struggle that has happened, you know, for the last couple of hundred years and beyond. Yes. So there are hurdles to get over, but just you're saying that Chief has been asked to supply a native Bible and a CD in the care boxes that are being distributed. That's a huge step forward.
Oh yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it was quite a request. We had actually heard it from the tribe, the leadership from the tribe. And the Bible that we distribute is a leather buckskin Bible. It is the Creator speaks, or the Bible presented to them in written form. And then we also network with a number of Native ministries that are partnering and sharing the gospel. And one is an organization called Without Reservation. And they specifically has addressed the virus. And one thing, and I'm sure you'll hear it everywhere, is that as a result of this, there is great anxiety, there is fear, there's uncertainty. And so they've addressed that as from Psalms 23, where the Lord is my shepherd. And what greater picture to our Navajo nation? And I get touched by this, because they are shepherd people. And so to portray Christ as the great shepherd, you know, it's an awesome message that the Lord has presented.
Yes.
And so so my heart is soft, my heart is tender. There's a great cry among our Native people. And what I see is that the Lord is responding beautifully. He's doing it through his church. There are churches, and not enough time to say, but there are churches that are responding from all over the country, all over the U.S., all over Canada. We have heard from Ireland. We have heard from South Korea. And the way that I've expressed it is God has demonstrated his love to our Native nation in a multifaceted way, showing us his kingdom. So it's just a powerful testimony.
If your heart is softened here as you listen to Huron Claus today, I urge you to go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org. We've got a link right there to Chief and their website and ways that you can pray and get involved. There are a lot of needs everywhere, but if this is the one that you want to respond to, we've got the link right there, chrisfabrylive.org. Huron, I'd love for you to just take a moment and pray.
Yes.
For especially the Navajo Nation and others. Would you do that?
Yes. Father God, oh God, we thank you, Lord, for your presence and your power. We thank you, Lord, for your authority. We thank you, God, for your word and the power of your word. And Lord, I just praise you. I praise you for your voice. What speaks to my heart recently is when I read in the book of Hebrews how it starts out where you have spoken to us through our ancestors and through our prophets. But Lord, the writer says, but today now you speak to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, my heart is touched because when I read that and just the litany that follows, it recognizes that, Lord, you are the creator of all things. You sustain all things. And Lord, you uphold all things. So what great joy and peace that I have, Lord, knowing that you are in control through all of this. And Father, my prayer is that you be lifted up. You get the glory. You receive the praise from all nations, every tribe and tongue and nation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Huron, it's great to hear from you again. Thank you for giving us that update. As brief as it is, we're giving you a taste of from different areas of the country, different areas of the world. And if you go to chrisfabrylive.org, you'll see more about how you can get involved and pray for the Navajo Nation and others, Native Americans, who are going through a really hard time through COVID-19. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org, chrisfabrylive.org. So we've gone to Russia, the former Soviet Union. We've looked at what's going on with Native Americans. Coming up in our next segment, I want to take you to the Middle East. What in the world is God doing in the hearts of those in Muslim nations? How is he stirring people to look to his son? You're going to hear about that. And in our final segment, we'll talk about what God is doing with COVID-19 and children. Some encouragement and reasons for prayer and action today at the Radio Backyard Fence, online, chrisfabrylive.org. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, we're able to bring you conversations like this one and updates about what God's doing around the world because of your support. And if you become a Backfence friend, I want to send you a copy of Junebug. If you become a Backfence partner and give a gift each month, there are a number of things that happen. One is every Thursday, tomorrow, I'm going to send out my Backfence post. And I interviewed my favorite broadcaster of all time, who had a number of conversations with Ravi Zacharias. And we just sat down and remembered Ravi. And if you want to receive the Backfence post each Thursday, this video, just give a gift of any size each month and become a Backfence partner. Go to chrisfabrylive.org, scroll down, you'll see how to do it, a friend or a partner. chrisfabrylive.org. And thanks for your support of what we do. 866-95-FABRY is the number you can call. 866-953-2279. God is at work in the middle of a virus, in the middle of a lockdown, in the middle of shelter in place, in the middle of stay at home, in the middle of Ramadan. In the Middle East, there are some spiritually encouraging signs. And here to talk about that, my former pastor, when we lived in Colorado, we went to Tri-Lakes Chapel. Tom Doyle was the pastor there. He's now president and founder of Uncharted Ministries, Reaching the Unreached, Standing with the Persecuted. He's written several books about God at work, Standing in the Fire, Courageous Christians Living in Frightening Times is his latest. Tom, you're excited about Ramadan ends on Saturday, so give me a flyover of what you see happening with God, the virus, and the Middle East.
Yeah, well, thanks, Chris, and gosh, that was an honor being your pastor. Those were some fun days when our kids were young, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
Oh, my gosh, they were. Well, yes, in the Middle East, you know, I mean, they're on the lockdown like everybody else. So during Ramadan, they are not going and gathering at the mosque. But it's so cool that we're talking about this week, because this is kind of a peak of Ramadan this week. And in fact, last night is when Muslims cry out to God and ask that he would reveal himself to them. So it's called the Night of Destiny.
Okay, hang on a second, Tom. I'm having a hard time hearing you. So move that telephone or microphone just a little bit closer to you, and that'd be better.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's much better. Now repeat what you just said about crying out to God.
Yeah, so Muslims are crying out to God. It's the last week of Ramadan, and they begin beginning last night with this night of power, where they meet before God and say, "Show yourself to me. Come to me in a dream or a vision. Show me that you're real." And do you know, Chris, that this is the number one night that we found in our research for Muslims to have a dream about Jesus is on that night of power that started last night. And so they're seeking God. They're looking. And I just think that's amazing that Jesus accommodates them reaching out to God. And he comes to them in a dream or a vision. So this Ramadan is different. They're not able to gather with at the mosque and do things. They are at home like everybody else. There's a loneliness. And some of the reports we're hearing in Saudi Arabia and Jordan, some of these countries, is that there's just a high receptivity to the gospel right now, which, even though there's such a bad thing that's happened in this last couple of months with the coronavirus, amazingly, God uses it for his glory. Muslims are coming to faith in Christ, and a lot of it's happening online.
Yes, and that is where I was so excited when I got the email from you to talk about this. I Found the Truth website, because it's one thing for you to talk about Jesus, and you do it well, and Joanne, your wife, and anybody else who wants to talk to a Muslim, I don't discourage that, but there's something special about a person who was Muslim and encountered Jesus. Talk about that.
So we started I Found the Truth, and it's a safe space for Muslims to come and discover the truth about Jesus. Many of them wonder about Jesus. They see him in Islam as a prophet. They've heard things about him. Many Muslims, Chris, that we found, even in Saudi Arabia, have heard of Saudi Arabia, have heard this phenomenon about Jesus coming to Muslims in dreams, and they wonder about that. And some have even told us, so I've prayed that Jesus would come to me in a dream. And so we wanted to get something out there where we could follow up and start a dialogue with Muslims. So we have five former Muslims that share their faith. Two are from Iran, one from the Gaza Strip, one is from Jordan, and one is actually from Philadelphia, grew up as an African-American Muslim. All of them came to faith in Jesus, had issues and things with their families. They share their stories, and they are inspiring, heart-touching, and Muslims are responding.
Yeah. If you've ever seen the I Am Second videos where people sit in the chair and they just basically tell their story, just kind of pour it out, it's very much like that and very well produced. But you're right, there's an anonymity that, as a Muslim, you know, you may not walk into a church or even call a Christian program like this one and say, hey, you know, tell me the difference between what I believe about Jesus and what you believe and what does the Bible say. But they can click on a website like that, and to see a person talking and who shares the same background that they may share, that is an open door, I think. And you really are seeing some people respond, right?
Oh, we are, and we have stories on there. We have videos, and we have some other stories. We want them to know that what God's doing in the Muslim world. So we thought it would do three things, Chris. Number one, it would be a wake-up call for Christians to realize that God is really doing some pretty powerful things in the Muslim world. Muslims are coming to faith in Christ. They're very open. Secondly, it would be an outreach with peace, an olive branch, not a hammer. We're not there to pick a fight or talk about their religion. These are just stories of people that were fed up with religion. They found Jesus, and they tell about their life. It's really done well, the stories. And then third, we're finding this, Chris, in some places in Saudi Arabia and the Gaza Strip, there are Muslims that have come to faith in Christ, but they didn't know one other believer, one that we just met. 8 years was following Jesus. He did not know one other believer. He thought he was the first one from the Muslim world. He didn't know anybody, and then we got connected with him. We find that there are a lot of Lone Ranger Muslims out there that gave their lives to Jesus. They don't know any other believers. They don't know where to go, and this is helping them too.
Yes. So we have a link, just like we've been talking about with the Native American, with Chief, as well as the Islamic Gospel Association. We have Uncharted Ministries and a link to I Found the Truth right there at chrisfabrylive.org. Click through and you can go link to what Tom is doing with Uncharted as well as I Found the Truth. Go to chrisfabrylive.org. You just mentioned something that I wanted to bring up with you. We're going to do a couple of programs next week about a kind of the legacy of Ravi Zacharias and talk with others who knew him. But the one thing that I'm hearing from people is, as they talk about Ravi, is that he didn't focus on the question, he focused on the heart of the questioner. What was the real question that they were asking? And I think that's what you're talking about with these stories. They get to the heart of not just the theology and what the Bible says, but the heart of Who am I in relation to God? Do you have a story about Ravi or what his apologetics ministry did in your own life, Tom?
Boy, do I ever. I met Nabil Qureshi when he was a new believer. We met him at Passion with Louis Giglio and their big conference in Georgia. He was a brand new believer. He did not have the kindness, the joy at that point as he would talk with other Muslims. He would get frustrated and he'd get angry, and it really bothered him, some of the points they were bringing up. Someone pointed him toward Ravi Zacharias, and he trained under him, and the joy and the resilience and the love that he showed to Muslims is something that has changed so many people's lives I know that are in Muslim outreach ministry. So I never had the privilege of meeting Ravi face-to-face, but I met him through people whose lives he changed. One was Nabil Qureshi, and another one was Jason Elam, who used to be the kicker for our beloved Denver Broncos. And it really changed his life, spending time with Ravi, too.
Yeah. Yeah, who still holds that record, as I recall, the longest. I think there are three of them now. Okay, so Tom, it is great to get to hear you and get to talk with you. One more time, how would you encourage our listeners today to pray here on Wednesday as Ramadan is ramping up?
Yeah. Boy, just pray for Muslims. Every time you see a Muslim or drive by a mosque or see something on TV, just remember, this is their week. They're reaching out to God. Pray that there'd just be this holy dissatisfaction where they would be open to the truth. If you know Muslims and you're praying for them, just say, hey, we have some friends that did a new site. Tell me what you think of this. Go to ifoundthetruth.com. I'd love to start a dialogue with you. None of the stories are abrasive or in your face. They're just about the love of Jesus. And I think it would warm their heart and really open their mind to the possibility that Jesus just might be their Savior.
Yeah. And I think going there and watching that yourself will give you an entree into their own stories and the path that God led these people through to Him, and will help you better understand. And it may be in that way that you can pray for your friend or family member or whoever it is that is on your heart. Go to chrisfabrylive.org. We got a link right there to those two websites, as well as Tom's latest book, Standing in the Fire, Courageous Christians Living in Frightening Times, and Uncharted Ministries and the I Found the Truth website. We've put it all in that one clearinghouse, chrisfabrylive.org. And Tom Doyle, thanks a lot for being with us today, and God bless you and your family there. Now, one more issue. God, the virus, the Middle East, former Soviet Union, Native Americans. What about children? Some exciting news is straight ahead here on Chris Fabry Live and Moody Radio. We've looked at Russia and the former Soviet Union, Native Americans, the Middle East, what God is doing among Muslims. Now, in the middle of a pandemic, what is God doing in the lives of children? To answer that question, Lydia Kaisers, Corporate Communication Specialist at the International Headquarters of Child Evangelism Fellowship. She hosts the Teach Kids radio feature produced by CEF. She wrote me, and here's what she said. I'll give you a direct quote. There's some amazing evangelism opportunities that have opened up for CEF as a result of COVID-19. Lydia, describe that. Explain it to me.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me on. Well, CEF has been reaching 25.5 million children a year in face-to-face ministries. But with the pandemic, that came to an abrupt halt, and we had to figure out how to do ministry differently. So the first thing we did was go to online Good News Clubs. Now, normally we have around 7,000 Good News Clubs meeting around the country, 99,000 worldwide, but we had to go online with these. We went online with them first in South Korea. They asked us for help, so we quickly got a training manual for them on how to use Zoom and manage a classroom full of kids that they contacted who normally attend their clubs. And so when it came time, when it hit here, we were all ready to go. And in fact, all of our regional directors We're getting this manual translated around the world, and we have had amazing reports. Just in this country, reports of clubs doubling in size because of the kids inviting their friends who used to not be able to attend club due to having to ride the bus home from school. Clubs happening every day of the week, multiple times a day, all 7 days of the week. Parents watching these clubs with their children and calling the club leaders and getting counseled for salvation on the phone. Getting started using our other resources to have their family start devotions and starting to church. So this is a few things that CEF is doing, but now we've also developed a lot of resources that your listeners can use for evangelism.
Yeah. And we have that linked as well. All of these ministries, we don't want to keep this to ourselves. You go to chrisfabrylive.org and click through, and you'll see some of those. Everything from coloring and doing those types of things, as well as Bible studies, right?
Right. I mentioned our devotional series. It's called the Stuck at Home Devotionals. And so all these resources are free. People can go on cefonline.com. and slash COVID resources, or that will pop up and you can find it. But just a myriad of resources that you can use with your family, with devotions, with activity books, with homeschool resources, Kids Draw the Bible booklet. And then we also have these videos that can be used for children's church. Hmm. You know, a lot of people are doing online streaming church, but these churches don't have anything for the kids. So what you can do, this program, it's called Good News TV, and it's on our Unite channel on YouTube, or you can go to our website address that I gave you and find these. And when children are normally dismissed from church to go to children's church, they can get on their own device and watch a 30-minute children's church with all the things that you would normally expect, with kids' music and a Bible lesson and memorizing a verse and review games and things like that. So people all over the world are using these just as an evangelistic tool as well. And again, people are coming to Christ. They're just being used all over the world, like even in Bulgaria. Your previous guest could even probably make access with his ministry, with all these programs being produced by CEF workers in countries all over the world.
Yes. Lydia Kaiser is joining us from Child Evangelism Fellowship and the international headquarters there. Let me ask you the big question that people don't often ponder, and that is, why is ministry to children important? I think people think about that, but it can kind of go by the wayside. What's the importance of ministry to children?
Well, you might be familiar with research by the Barna Research Group, and it shows that most people who do make a profession of faith do so before the age of 14, and it's becoming younger and younger, whereas if we do not reach them with the truth of the Bible, they become hardened because they are so brainwashed, especially in by secular education that undermines their ability to have faith in the Bible. They don't realize that the Bible is true from the first word to the last, whether you're talking about historically or scientifically. And so it's just drummed into them that it's some sort of myth, and so then they don't even consider it. So if we reach them while they're young and they hear and the Holy Spirit enters their life and stirs their soul, to be able to respond before that's squashed, then they're held in God's hands, and they will grow up, and they might struggle and might need to, look around a little bit before coming back, but God has them in his hand after that, so we must reach them while they're young.
Well, don't you love the scripture where Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me"? You know, that's enough right there, but you just described it so well. There are free COVID-19 resources for children at the website we have linked. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org, click through to today's program. On that site, I'm looking at it now, the Story of Jesus for Children film. There's the Kids Draw Bible devotional. There's Stop the Spread. Are your kids anxious in these days? God promises in this pamphlet will help them fight the spread of fear. There's an activity book there as well. It's all free. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org and click through. And the other thing in this, Lydia, is that there may be people who wouldn't let their kids go to the backyard Bible club or to a church, but they would say, okay, let's see what these Christian people are saying here, and they will go online with their kids. That's got to be encouraging.
That's absolutely right. We have had parents helping their children with correspondence courses, filling it out, writing it back, saying, my child and I both received Christ. Parents watching these programs with their children. We have two evangelistic tracks that I'd like to tell your listeners about when we come back.
Well, you know what? We're right at the end of the program, so let me encourage them to go online. If they go to that website, the COVID-19 resources, will they see them right there?
Yes, the one is The World's Greatest Doctor, and the other one is Stop the Spread, meaning Stop the Spread of Fear.
Yes, excellent. So if you go to chrisfabrylive.org, you'll see more about that and all the ministries that we've featured here, from the former Soviet Union, Native Americans, Muslims, and now children and evangelism. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org and click through. Lydia Kaiser, thanks a lot for reaching out to us, and thanks for what you're doing in the lives of children, both in this country and then internationally. Some real reasons for encouragement you've heard today. God is at work in the middle of all the things that say you can't do that anymore and you got to stop doing that. You're not going to stop the Spirit of God at work in people's lives. I think that's a good reason to be hopeful and encouraged, as well as involved and praying for these different ministries. Hope you enjoyed the conversation today. Again, go to chrisfabrylive.org and you'll see all of those featured here at the Radio Backyard Fence. Two great stories for you tomorrow here on Chris Fabry Live, a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.